Well, look, I do want to get right into the word because this is so important. And when you approach this desk, and all week long, I'm sure most pastors are like this, evangelists, sometimes they will run a few messages over and over and over. But as a pastor, it's fresh all the time, or at least mine are. And I don't dig back into the archives. I keep them fresh because what was said then, I need something new for today unless God would say something else. So, you know, and then you hear all of the news and you don't want to just repeat what we're hearing in the news because it's such a mess out there. I mean, you guys, we are living in a most amazing times. We are living in what the Bible calls perilous times or strange times. But I'll just say this, we are living in the end times. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about the end times. And I was working to go a certain direction since Wednesday night when I got out of church until the rest of the days. And I really wanted to go there, but then, I mean, really, it came this morning that there had to be a change. And I want to show you a scripture that the Lord gave me, and we'll take it from here. Let's go to Amos. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Amos is way back after Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and Amos, right after Joel. Toward the back of your Bible, Amos chapter 8. And I believe that this is so speaking to us, it is so relevant to us. See, the Bible is relevant to every single generation. And so this speaks to us in a mighty way, but let's look at Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, and not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words, hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord. What? But they shall not find it. Now, notice there, it says they will run to and fro, and they will wander, verse 12, they'll wander from sea to sea. The seas go around the globe. But then it says north to east. We never say north to east. We say north to south. But he says, no, it'll be north to east, and people will be running all over the place. And so many of the nations of the Bible, and even today, many nations are suffering hunger and famine and not enough to eat and all kinds of poverty. But he said, I am not talking about that kind of famine. And he just totally lays it out. No, not a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water. Not that, but the famine will be to hear the word of the Lord. Now, I love the first line, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but let me go back to this while I feel it. Verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says who? The Lord God. Now, let me just warn you today that every time you turn on Facebook and you run down through it, or you can go to people's YouTube addresses, and there are so many prophets, so-called prophets. Some are true prophets. Some call themselves prophets, but everybody is saying, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. I had a dream. And if we're not careful, we start telling what everybody has said, and we forget this line right here, thus says the Lord. Now, many say, says the Lord, but does he say it? Is it according to the word of the Lord? Okay, everybody seems to know what's happening tomorrow, and yet nobody knows what's happening tomorrow. They haven't yet. And I know that prophecies are time related, okay? I'm aware of that. I've been in this a long, long time. I understand that. And I know there are exhortations where we exhort each other with a word from the Lord. We can encourage each other with a word from the Lord. And then there's prophetic utterances that are general. Okay, I know you've been having problems for 2 or 3 years, and God's going to help you. That's pretty general. But when it goes to what Jesus said, hey, Nathan, I saw you down under the fig tree the other day. He knew his name. He knew he was by the fig tree and knew what he was doing. So then there's those articulate words, and there's the articulate dreams. I heard Timothy Dixon the other day talking about a dream he had before him and Robin Bullock went up to Washington, D.C. and laid out a scroll with all the unborn babies' names on. It was amazing. And it came to pass. I mean, it was an amazing thing. So I'm just saying, you guys, be really careful that you're just not saying constantly that she says, he says, he says, she says. Let's see what the word of the Lord says. Okay, so that's where I want to take you every week when we come together, because this is not a fairy tale. I mean, this is not a drill, as Jack Dennis would say. This is not a drill. Not these days. This is for real. Okay, there's no games now. Becky Fender said, if you're going to, you know, if you were going to backslide or you're going to play around and you were going to ride the fence, you should have done that back in 1952. But don't do that now. You may have even tried that in 2000, but now's not the time to play with that. So God's word, we say, Pastor, there's not a famine of the word. Haven't you seen the word is everywhere? There's every translation you can imagine. My goodness, you guys, I have like, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 Christian TV stations on my TV, and I love them. Man, I'm just flipping all the time. You know, I love those, and I love good preaching, and you see the good, you see the bad, and you see the ugly. And as we grow, we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and every word that comes out of a man or woman's mouth. But we look to the word. So there is plenty of the word to go around. And we know that our Bibles are, this has been a number one seller for years and years and years. Number one seller. And you ask the Christians today, do you believe it is the unadulterated word of God? Oh, yes, I do, Pastor. I believe it is. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I believe every word of it. Do you read it? No. I just don't have time, Pastor. See, you, Pastor, so you've got all the time to study and read. But do I read it? No. Listen, I know I should, but okay, I'll just stop there. Because he says, since you don't read it, then I'll send a famine. And I've got ways of making you want to have it. Lady said to me not too long ago, my husband's just not ready to give his life to the Lord. She says, I asked him, he said, I'm not ready yet. I will when I'm ready. And I said, you tell your husband that God has ways of making him ready. And it would really be better not to have that way. And so, if you're not thirsty for him and you're not hungry and the ways of the Lord don't excite you, he's got ways of making you thirsty. And that's what he's doing today. And the pandemic, it did a lot of funny things. People responded in different manners. They either responded by isolating themselves and going in or compromising with the culture or drawing close to the Lord and running in. But he said, I will create a hunger. And we are seeing it all over the world today, including Porterville, where people are hungering for the word of the Lord. Well, I want to say that when I heard about that Dust Bowl, my daddy and his family came out from Oklahoma during those days of the Dust Bowl. Their crops, everything had been destroyed. Dust was everywhere, and when you read the history of it, it's so amazing. It said that the dust cloud rose thousands of feet in the air, and it reached as far as New York City, and you couldn't even see the Statue of Liberty at certain times because it was so dark. The Dust Bowl also hit Kansas and Texas, and we don't hear much about that, but it hit, and it was so bad. And some people isolated themselves, and they tried to stay inside their little shacks or their little houses or their old farmhouse, and yet the dust would go right on through. It was so thick it would just go right on inside the house. And it destroyed the animals and the crops. And there weren't many crops. Let me just say this, and I don't want to get bogged down in this, and I was afraid I would. Help me, Lord, not to. I always wondered, what was it that helped that dust bowl along? And when I read the history of it, it said that wheat was so plentiful those days in Europe. There was so much wheat and so much seed, and the farmers got greedy. And they began to plow up their fields, and they plowed them up and plowed them up. And they plowed to get ready. And so they had this topsoil, and then all of a sudden there was a depression that hit Europe, and they couldn't get the seed over, and they couldn't get the wheat, the seed over. And so these poor farmers are stuck, and their ground is all plowed, and there's no topsoil. There's nothing to hold the dirt down. And when the big wind came, it just picked that dirt up and blew it, and it became like a hurricane of dirt or dust. Hurricane of loose dirt, and it destroyed everything. And you're talking about a thirst. People begin to thirst for God. They didn't know where else to turn. What do we do? Well, many of them did turn, but they turned and left, and they came to California. Isn't that something? They came to California, why, to get jobs. And when they got here, they didn't pay them what they were worth. They took advantage of those poor people. You've seen the old classic movie, Grapes of Wrath, so sad. My dad said there were so many similarities. He said it was so real. And they ran, and they joined other. Oh, it talked about how many thousands came to the San Joaquin Valley. And they moved, and they went all different places. And yet today, I just want to say that this culture that has swept over our land, you know, the pandemic was one thing, but this cultural change, I mean, it's not even the same as it was 1 year ago. It's so far loose now, it's just crazy. I mean, it's reaching, if you want to compare it to that dust, it left Oklahoma, and it went clear across the United States. It covered the Statue of Liberty, a sign of our freedom. It covered Washington, D.C. It just went across the ocean. And now this culture is seemingly blinding our freedom. It's trying to blind. It's bringing a threat against the church. It's bringing threat. Oh, at least it's trying to bring a threat. But let's go a little deeper into God's word and see what it says about it. I'm so thankful for this morning. That was so devastating. It said the clouds of dust brought darkness over the land. Many isolated inside, many died, many moved away. But what did Jesus say in John chapter 7? He said, if any man thirst, you come to me. If you were thirsting, you come to me, and I will do what? I will give you that living water. And my water, you will never thirst again, like you told the lady at the well. He said, if you thirst, you come to me, and I will give you that living water, and out of you will flow rivers, with an S, rivers of living waters. Rivers of faith, rivers of healing, rivers of joy, rivers of love, rivers of everything that we have need of to give away to others. It's not us. We've got a fountain of living water within us. But when Jesus gives us those living waters, they're to go out to others. Remember his last words on the cross. He said, I thirst. Why did he say that? So we don't have to. He said, I thirst. Now you don't have to. You just come to me and I'll give you that living water. All right. Let's look over at Jude. Jude is the last book just before you get to the book of Revelation. Just like a little postcard. It's just one chapter. I'm going to read this first out of the New Living. I'm not New Living. New King James, as usual. And then I'm going to read to you out of the Passion. All right, look at this in Jude. Let's start at verse 1. Jude, the bondservant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Jesus and James were brothers, half-brothers. To those who are called, that's us. Jude is writing this to the sanctified by God the Father and preserved. We are preserved in Jesus Christ. Amen. Mercy, peace, and love multiplied to you. Look, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness, and they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he said, beloved, I'm just telling you, there will come a day where you will have to contend for that which you believe. You will have to contend for the faith. You will have to contend for the truth of the word, because many have slipped in unaware and they're turning things upside down. Let me read to you what it says here in the Passion. There have been some of you who have sneaked in among you. There have been some who have sneaked in among you unnoticed. They are depraved. Depraved people whose judgment was prophesied in Scripture a long time ago. They have perverted the message of God's grace into a license to commit immorality and to turn against our only absolute master, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me go down to verse 6. In the same way, there were heavenly messengers in rebellion who went outside their rightful domain of authority and abandoned their appointed realms. God bound them in everlasting chains, keeping them in the dark abyss. Okay, I'm just going to stop there. Let me go over to verse 10. These people, now listen, if this doesn't sound like 2022 and beyond, these people insult anything they don't understand. They behave like irrational beasts by doing whatever they feel like doing, because they live by their animal instincts. They corrupt themselves and bring about their own destruction. How terrible it is for them. They have followed in the steps of Cain. That's just self-explanatory right there. I mean, you can look at the news and see that poor woman, middle-aged woman, getting off the subway, and a young man ran over and began to kick her in the head, and it was just too much to watch. Animal instincts. And if they don't agree with you and they don't like your thoughts, they'll just shut it out. And not only that, but then go after you. We haven't seen anything like that in our lifetime. I want you to back up in your Bibles to the left. Go back to Peter, 2 Peter. I'm pretty much going to stay close to the word, lest I put in my own opinion, and that would be all right. But I want you to see what the word says, because it is just so amazing. 2 Peter 1, look at verse 12. And I'll read just a minute right here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. For this, now listen, wait, first before I say this, Peter, he was getting ready to die. And Peter and the apostles, they were all murdered. I mean, violently murdered and slaughtered. And Peter was such a man of God, and they loved Jesus so much. Jesus was, I started to say their idol. No, there was no idolatry with them. But they loved him so much, and they knew who he was, and he was so powerful and so humble and so kind, and he was everything. And when it came time for Peter to die, he was going to be crucified like Jesus. And he said, I am not even worthy to be crucified like him. Please just turn my cross upside down. and they crucified Peter upside down. Now, he's getting ready to go be crucified, but he said, I have to leave you all a note. I have to remind you. He's talking to them, but he's talking to us. And I'm so glad that they put these letters in the Bible for us. Look at this, verse 12. For this reason, Peter says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth. He's saying, you know all this, but please, just let me remind you, verse 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, that meant his body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. He knew he was going to die, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Jesus told him that he would. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. All right, let me give this to you. Just in case you have a friend that says, I don't believe all that hogwash. Okay, because there's many out there today that don't. So just look at this and you weigh this. Verse 16, I've always loved this. Some of my favorites since I was a 25-year-old girl. I remember when the first time I saw it. Verse 16, for we did not, Peter said, we who? We disciples. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. No, not Queen Elizabeth. Peter says, we were witnesses of his majesty. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And look at this. We heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. That's not hearsay. We didn't dream it. We saw it. We heard the voice of the Father confirming him. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. That's why you're here today. When you got saved, when Chris sung, he washed us white as snow. How did that happen? Right here, the light shined in a dark place on us that day. Until the day dawned and the morning star rose. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. He's saying we didn't make this up. For prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So this modern culture, Peter is telling us that he said on one day, in the last days, he said it will move across the earth. And it will come to destroy, just as the locusts did way back there in Egypt. This culture, you think the pandemic flew over? It did. It covered the globe. But now there's a culture that Satan has sent. And he has loosed it right out of hell. Am I talking out of two mics? Let's see. All right. Somebody grab this one. God, man. A little bit of this voice goes a long ways, all right? I'll just give you one. So anyway, this culture is like the locust just coming to destroy and to threaten some things. I'm telling you, let me just name a couple and I'll let you go. But I just felt the Holy Spirit so in this. You know, you and I have a Christian heritage. Man, I look at you, Alice. You got such rich Christian heritage. And Gina, your daddy, that great heritage. Bit if you had the floor, you could tell about the rich heritage. Portia, sweet heritage. Lynn, so many of us just have that. But see, this culture wants to tear all that down.
It wants this next generation to forget all about that culture, all about that heritage. Wipe it out. Ed Rockholt had 40 preachers behind him, every generation, way back. I'm just over it, over preachers coming out of them. I'm sorry, not 40. That's a long ways. Four, anyway. Four back. And so rich. My grandchildren having a rich heritage on both sides. Not one preacher in my family, but we had family values and we had the love of God. We were raised in church. That's heritage. And yet today, they're wanting to tear down not only America's heritage with the Constitution, get rid of that thing, it's old-fashioned, but it's the same thing that they're talking about us. If you talk about Christian heritage, you're so old-fashioned, and that's traditional, and it's legalistic, and be quiet about it. And so our children aren't being taught so much about our Christian heritage. But grandma, grandpa, moms, dads, you better keep it alive in them, because you know why? Nobody else is going to. Nobody else is going to. So let's do our part. Tell them the importance of this word. And church attendance. And family values. Today I'm wondering about the kids. You just get worried because of the values in some homes. Where is it? What do they teach? What do they hear mom and daddy saying? What do they see mom and daddy doing? What's most important? What do they say to you that's most important to you? We got to pass it on. Today's culture says, we'll be your teachers. Did you hear that the other day on Fox News? This one guy said, we will teach your children. We will train them. And if they want to be transgender, we'll help them get the surgery without you, parent. He says, I'll be your parent. They say, teachers, we'll teach them. Whether they're indoctrinating or not, we'll put our school values in them. The coaches of the sports teams, oh, we'll father them. We have them every day. The coaches, the teachers, they're friends. Friends will take care of them if you don't. If you don't spend any time with them and they spend more time with their friends, oh, they'll train them. Believe me. And then there's TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. And if they're all there all the time, that'll train them too. So what is that? Culture, 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 culture. Where's the Christian heritage? Oh, well, you know, I'll get around to telling them about it next week. Yeah, but meanwhile, every day they're with these people. So we wonder, what's going on? Well, let's take a look at our own families and we can just start right there. Let's just start with us. My goodness, how many children today, folks, have prayer in the home? Do you pray with the kids at home? Do you pray with them before they go to bed? I know many of you do. Some don't. You're too busy. Or too tired. Whatever. But do you pray with them? Do they know Psalms 23? Do they know there's such a verse? Do they know John 3:16? Do they know some of those old familiar things? Do they know the verses in Philippians? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That should be one of the first ones they know that will keep them standing when nothing else will. It's that word that David says we hide in our heart. Do they have the word? Do your children have any word hidden in their heart? We better get some in there, church. And you can't pound it, but there is a way that God will show you how to do that with them. One man said to me not too long ago, oh, you hear it so often, we keep our kids busy. We keep them busy to keep them out of trouble. What? Are you kidding me? They're with all these people all the time. That's going to keep them out of trouble? I'm not saying don't do sports. I'm not saying don't do this, don't do that. It's good to get the kids involved. Brian was just telling me about 4-H.
He was telling me some of the things that the kids do need to get involved. But at least let them come home and see you. At least have dinner with you. You want to keep them out of trouble? Then you do some teaching and training with them. You have some family time with them. It's so busy. I wondered, this same guy that said to me, oh, we just keep them busy to keep them out of trouble. But I knew him, and I thought, no, you're keeping them busy to keep them out of your hair. You haven't got much, but maybe they're staying out of your way. But you know what? You know what's really, you know what really bothers me is all this stuff does. But this culture is literally weakening, and you see it weakening the values of the church and the belief system of the church. Pastor Wayne and Janet Neal are having Sherlock this weekend, and so they called to talk about that and how it was going. And Pastor Wayne says, you know what? He said, you know what one of the popular doctrines are right now around Missouri? I said, no, Charlie. He said that we're going to go through all the tribulation period. I said, well, you know what the popular one is here and around the world? There is no rapture. And if you believe in the rapture, you believe in escapism. You're just trying to escape, you coward. That's what they tell us. So see, this culture is weakening the very word of the Lord. To tear it down, to weaken what we believe. This we believe, this we believe. And I said, well, don't you worry, Pastor Wayne. When Evangelist Bally gets there, believe me, he can cover the rapture of the church. He will cover it. He will put the pieces together according to the word of the Lord. When's the last time, and you know this is true, you see people rejecting the very thing that they once believed. They don't believe it anymore. Anyone seen that one? They used to believe it wholeheartedly. Carlton Pearson, a great holiness preacher, man, he was so awesome, full of the Holy Ghost in his day. Had a great Azusa revival there in Oklahoma City or Tulsa. He was so good. But he got so lost into this new, and I say new, you and I were saved by grace, cut our teeth on grace. We live by grace. We'll die by grace. But see, everything that God gives us, Satan comes to bring a counterfeit and tear it up. And so Carlton Pearson, the great man of God, began to bite off this universalism doctrine that says everybody is saved. Jesus died for everybody. There's no need to repent. Those are the words of Joseph Prince today. Cute little guy. Biggest church in Seoul, in Korea. But he's dead wrong in some things. Oh, man, he's good. He's got just enough, but man, he just puts enough dirt in that cake mix to mess up the cake. So, Carlton Pearson began to put homosexuals on his platform. All kinds of people, Muslims, believing still in their God, said, that's all right, we love you. I know this firsthand. And you know what? He's lost everything. He's got a church of maybe 50 or 60 people of such a mix of everything that you can imagine in the name of Jesus. Things he once believed are now nothing. Dismiss the rapture, the tribulation period. No repentance needed, by the way. And by the way, now today, in most Pentecostal circles, you can't even backslide anymore. Do you know that? You can live like the devil, but you're still going to heaven. No backsliding. Rethink marriage. Well, now, I don't know, Pastor. You know, we ought to be able to love who we want to love. Well, go for it. You know, now, did you see that the other day that judge approved polygamy? Yeah, you may as well have more than one wife or two men or two wives or whatever. And then, guys, that's killing me. The president of the United States
Mr. Joe Biden says that we are so close to the Armageddon. Armageddon's going to hit. Now listen, I remember when I was a little girl and that Cuban Missile Crisis, we had to crawl under our desk. You know, the alert would go off and there was a bomb alert. We practiced hiding under our desk as if that desk was going to save us if there was a nuclear war. I don't think that desk would have saved us. But anyway, we got under it. And so now he's saying, well, Putin's down in a bunker. Well, that's a whole nother story. I would be too if I was him, because he's going to remember Saddam Hussein crawling out of that rat hole. But so Biden says, well, it's going to be Armageddon. You know what is it? It's not the Armageddon. You guys, don't say that. Don't take his silly words. He doesn't even know what he's saying. Armageddon's gonna be when all of the nations of the world come together. In fact, when we were in Israel, we stood right there and saw where the battle was gonna be, and blood was gonna run as high as a horse's bridle. We saw the place. It's a huge Megiddo Valley, it's huge. And yet, when the Antichrist comes, you and I will be out of here. See, we're the only thing the Bible says that's holding him back. If you and I weren't here, you know how long it's going to take this whole world to unravel? I mean, it's so going to unravel in 7 years. I believe in 7 years it'll totally come undone, because we are not here. He said, you're holding it back. The Holy Spirit with us is holding it back. And then when the Antichrist rises to his highest peak, it's when that Armageddon is going to break loose. And it'll run. It'll run through that time. And then when Jesus comes back, it won't be ended until Jesus returns with all of us with him. With all those white horses, all of us, the army of God, will come back. And that's when the Armageddon is over. It's done. A new heaven, a new earth. It's all done. So don't get caught up in hearing all the mess. Because Romans 10, chapter 3, he says this. They go about to establish their own righteousness. If they want to believe it, they will believe it. If they want to teach it, they'll teach it. But let's see what thus saith the Lord. That's why I'm a little nervous about so many of these people coming on and saying, but the Lord says, the Lord says, the Lord says. Well, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible say anything? Every day. They come forth saying, the Lord says, the Lord says, the Lord says. I believe there are some good ones, but I'm just saying, folks, be very, very careful, because we're hearing it all. And many are going about to establish their own righteousness, and that's including the world. They're establishing their own Bibles. They don't like this Bible. They want the blood out of it. They want anything that's not the doctrine that they want. They want it all out. Teaching that our Bible is old-fashioned and outdated. We took the babies to the children. Got to quit calling them babies. Took them to dinner the other night. Sarah and I, David, was working. And I said, wow, you guys ate good. And Sarah, look, they ate all their food. She said, you know why, Mom? Because they're with me. And they didn't eat all that junk food. They didn't get to eat all that sweets and all that candy and all that stuff you give them before dinner. And then you say, gosh, you guys aren't eating anything. But see, that's why when we eat too much junk, you guys, in the spiritual world, when we eat everything that's put before us, on Christian TV or in the culture, you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it. And if you keep buying it, it's just a bunch of junk. And if we keep putting this junk in our mouth and we eat the sweets, oh, some of it is so sweet. Some of the words that come from some of these people is just, ooh, it's just so precious. It's going to be great. Everything's good. I believe we live in a Goshen. I believe God will help us. But you can't just eat on sweets or you'll miss this, you guys. We can't do that. We can't. The Bible, Jesus, James, the brother of Jesus, said this is the only anchor that our soul has. It is an anchor. Amen. For our soul. I got to go. Look at Jeremiah 15, 16. Change your hearts, Lord. Speak to our minds. Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found, Jeremiah said. Your words were found, and I ate them. I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Folks, know this, that you are called by his name. You are called, and he is your Lord. And I'm telling you, you eat these words. You put these words in your mouth. You say, I don't know where to start. Well, start at Genesis. That's where you start on most books. You start at the beginning and read through. If that's too much, start with Matthew. Christmas is coming anyway. So just start at the front of the New Testament. Just start. But start to eat the words. And here's a must read. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. I cannot close this without giving you this. 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2, 1 through 3. Peter goes on. He says, but there were also there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. That means untruths. Even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on them, they bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their own destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Oh no, he says, they will exploit anyone they can. They will mock the church. They'll mock the word. And look at verse 7 and 8. He says, by the way, he wants to roll back. Let me tell you about Lot. You say, oh, we know that good for nothing, Lot. Well, read this. We know Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 7, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. God said, I've seen you guys. I've seen you in this day. You're like righteous Lot. You're so sick and tired of seeing this madness. You don't understand it. And it says he had to live among them. He dwelled among them. And he was tormented. It tormented his righteous soul day to day by hearing their righteous deeds, unrighteous deeds. There's so much that we could just carry on there. But church, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming so soon. And I pound, and I wanted to have another teacher's meeting today, but I couldn't get there now that we have the children's meetings going, to say, teachers, zone in. You have to grab those little children. You've only got them out about 30 to 45 minutes out there. That's why we're sending them out a little earlier, so they can have a little more time, because we want to help you put something special in them. I told Gabby the other day, I said, honey, the old Bible stories are good, and we'll forever give them the Bible story. But if we can't make that Bible story be relevant to today while they're at school, then it's a waste of time. We got to catch them, Brother Phil, right here. Right here. This is our time. This is our generation. We only have one chance, church. This is it. We have no more time. And Satan knows his time is short. But you and I know who our God is. The bad news is nobody knows what's going on. But the important thing is he knows all about it. And he speaks it to us and he lets us know. Amen. Stand on your feet with me. Hallelujah. Oh, the world needs us, church. You know that? How they need us. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Brother Anthony. Glory to God. Okay, Sister Teddy, I'm sure she wouldn't mind me telling you, she had a mastectomy, and then they had to take a lymph node out from under her arm that was the size of a grape, and then has about 30 little ones under that. And so she won't know for a couple of weeks whether those are cancerous, but the breast was. And so she had that, did I say, Friday. She had that on Friday, so by the afternoon she was bruising, and they had to go back in to see where she was bleeding from. So she went back in the second time, and now she's going back in for the third time. They're still bleeding. So we're going to pray for her. The doctor said he's never had to go back in this many times. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up this, Lord, this petition is written. That's the difference between praying and a petition is the petition is written. So put your right hand toward it right now. Father, we lift up this petition to you in Jesus' name. That if there be any bleeding, you stop the blood in Jesus' name. May it be staunched by the word of the Lord and by your precious blood. Now give Teddy the energy she has need of. Restore her, Lord. Restore her in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, you'll give her doctor divine wisdom to know exactly what to do. We plead the blood of Jesus. Give your angels charge over in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, look, church, here's all I want to say. And you know, every single day you and I need a drink from Jesus. I mean, he's the only one with the water. The world is drinking old wine, as we talked about last week. And the church is so accepting of drinking old wine. We don't need old wine. He said, I gave you new wine to drink. So let's come and get a drink from him. That will establish. Come on up here with me. I'm not going to pray for everybody, but just come and let's just say, Lord, give me a drink. Just give me a drink of that living water that it might flow out of me. Come on, you don't have to stay long, but let's just make a practice of just coming before him. You can kneel at the altar. You can lay on the floor. I don't care, but let's just come to get what he's offered us. Lord, we're thirsty. We are a thirsty people, Lord. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. Pull up the house lights, please. Father, we thank you for a wonderful message today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your sweet people. We thank you for our children and teachers. And Lord, we just ask you to bless us and keep us as we go. Bless us and keep us, cause your face to shine upon us. Be gracious to us. Turn your countenance toward us and give us peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.